They did not drop from CPB or Microsoft or NPR. They grew up with community radio nurturing them, training them, developing them, and becoming some of the finest broadcasters in the country today. WBAI, under the leadership of Samori Marksman, produced some of the best programming and programmers in community radio in recent years. WBAI did improve the quality of its shows. It won numerous awards. It sharply increased its audience over the last decade, and it hit the first $1 million fundraiser in community radio history in the most competitive radio market in the world, and that's New York City. And it achieved these milestones not by killing its community ties or abandoning Pacifica's mission, but by deepening them, by strengthening those community relations, and by strengthening its commitment to the original founding message of people like Blue Hill. Too often the debate at Pacifica is framed between those who supposedly want to improve programming and those who do not. That's not the issue. The issue is how we improve programming, strengthen our programs, build audience. The issue is how we move forward as a network. And this is crucial to understand, and it has important implications for how the network is organized and what kind of programming we do. We can have and need to have a democratic media organization, one that starts from the bottom up, an organization that is accountable, a media that can deepen and grow through participation and representation, not by exclusion and repression. As an organization, Pacifica needs to have internal democracy and transparency at the highest levels. Pacifica also needs to find space for great broadcasters like Larry Bensky and Verna and Laura. Why are accomplished, serious journalists being driven out at all levels of the network? Pacifica needs to be an organization where rules are followed, where positions are filled in an open hiring process, and where journalistic integrity is respected, and journalists are not fired for reporting the truth or for exercising editorial discretion. We don't want a network run on terror. It's unacceptable. Pacifica and Pacifica journalists need not be afraid of speaking truth to power, of tackling the controversial issues, of staying true to its mission of peace and social justice. We should say that we are not afraid of social change, that we believe in the need for a new society, that the present organization of society creates war and poverty and racism, and like Lou Hill, we want to abolish these conditions of human life. And this is, in fact, how we can build a network, by challenging, by taking on the establishment, by being critical. This is how we can distinguish ourselves. Again, take a look at Democracy Now! It has built an audience. It has raised millions. It has won journalism awards. I believe it's a model for how Pacifica can continue to provide a space for broad, diverse movements for social change, and at the same time, build audience and be successful. But for Pacifica to be able to air the voice of a journalist from death row, and for Pacifica to be able to stand up to Daimler Chrysler, to Microsoft, to NPR and the CPB, for Pacifica to provide a real alternative, it needs us. We have to organize ourselves. We are part of a growing media and democracy movement that is having a powerful effect, most recently in Seattle and in Washington, D.C. But we still need to deepen and broaden our organic relations with communities, to overcome divisions, to ensure that our work is from the bottom up and not the top down. And that is why we need groups like this Free Speech Coalition that came together here today and put on this program. And why today's... So, thank you very much for coming, and thank you for allowing me the opportunity to speak.
KPFK, KPF 8 family, why are these people, these outstanding journalists on the outside now criticizing? I mean, this says millions of words about what we're here for today. You know, Dan just mentioned the collective that did this. I'm just kind of facilitating today, but I think I'll have them stand up. There's an ad hoc committee There's an ad hoc committee that have put in hours and hours of work. I'm down the hall at the CSPIS office, and I can see right down to their office at the Peace Center. They're there all hours of the night and day. They made an enormous sacrifice financially as well as in time and effort, but all out of love for the Pacifica Network. Why doesn't the ad hoc collective that did this program today stand up right now so we can give you a round of applause? They're all over the hall. And I actually see John Martinez back there. I always expect him to bring in a cot, you know, and a refrigerator and just live at his office. He's constantly organizing there. The whole collective is an extraordinarily dedicated group of progressives. I have one announcement. I want you to stop by on your way out and sign a petition. Out of the 101 demonstrators that were arrested during the shutdown of KPFA last summer, only one is facing prosecution. Cahil Jacobs Fantasi is a gifted and enthusiastic teacher, tireless worker with young people of color in his community. He's a member of the KPFA Local Advisory Board, an elected member of the KPFA Steering Committee from the Coalition for a Democratic Pacifica. There's a lot of information I could share about him, but here's the key thing. If convicted of the charges and they're moving against him, Cahil could be actually sentenced to up to 1 year in prison and face a fine of $1,000 for each of the officers he's convicted of resisting. To me, we ought to give him a badge for resisting what was going on at KPFA in Berkeley. Make a strong statement that you oppose the use of criminal prosecution to actually penalize peaceful protests. We also protest the injustice of selecting for prosecution and attempting to isolate a young man of color who stood up very strongly and was, we believe, very much targeted for what he did. You're going to send your cards and notes to the mayor of Berkeley, Shirley Dean, the Berkeley City Manager, James Keene, and other members of the Berkeley City Council calling for a dropping of all charges against this compañero who was one of the heroic folks at KPFA in Berkeley who said, no more. We've had enough. No more. So let's, on the way out, and I think the staff out there is going to have the cards laid out so you can sign them and put them in the mail very, very quickly. This is another great honor for me to introduce someone that I think you know primarily as the producer and host of Counterspin. I think, was it 10 years, I believe, 10 years on Counterspin. Laura Flanders is managing editor of RadioForChange.com, the new radio network of the Working Assets Funding Agency, and she's also co-host of the morning show on KWABAM with Bob Harris. She's also a panelist on the PBS program To the Contrary, and she's the author of this book, which is actually for sale in the lobby, with all proceeds today going to the strike fund of the Stringers. So she's donating all sales today to the strike fund. This book is called Real Majority, Media Minority, The Cost of Sidelining Women in Reporting. And it's on sale out there. She's the founding director of the Women's Desk at the Media Watch Group Fair. And for more than 10 years, she produced and hosted, as I said, Counterspin. There's a lot more here that I could say about her, but you know what? I think you're more interested in hearing Laura than me. And you know that she's a distinguished journalist. Another big Southern California welcome for Laura Flanders.
Thank you. It's really great. It's just great to see all of you here. Thank you. Thank you. I love that you took that moment, Don, to remind us that people do this work out of love, that we are here because of something that we believe in, that we care about. We sometimes, and I know that we often, and the folks at FAIR and with Counterspin, we encourage you to get into a very critical mindset. What's wrong with this coverage? What's wrong with this source of sources? this selection of sources, what's wrong with this spectrum that goes from the very, very far right to the quite a little bit less far right and stops right there. We talk very often in critical terms about what's wrong, and what's so exciting is to remember that we're here because of something that we believe is right. We're here because we believe in the tradition of publicly owned media, of media that's independent from the corporations that Dan mentioned, in media that is accessible to us so that people like Werner can literally walk in a door. I still believe that's different from a website. That actual people on their actual feet can walk into a door and meet other actual live, living, breathing people, I think is different. And this is a really exciting weekend to be having this event, I think. I mean, if you think about it, this is the 25th anniversary of the end of the Vietnam War. A war that I think 25 years ago, on the verge of its end, a lot of people in the U.S. would have thought, this isn't going to happen. We're not going to win this argument. A lot of people in Vietnam were thinking, can we lose more people? Can we have more victims? Can this war go on and on? Well, maybe. And what we saw 25 years ago was that a war was brought to an end by fighters in Vietnam, by peaceful fighters here, by a civil rights movement here that stood up against the racist and classist use of the draft, and a policy of the powers that be, for heaven's sake, when you think of what their agenda was, that we managed to stop that, to turn that around, to end that war with all of its legacy, is a victory we need to be remembering this weekend. Now, where are you going to go to hear that victory, be reminded of how that came about? Where are you going to go to hear that coalition of voices again, 25 years later? Well, I know in New York you could turn to WBAI tomorrow when they'll be airing a day-long, I think they'll be airing, I believe deeply that they will be airing. I have confidence that they will be airing the day-long teaching about how was that war ended? What did we learn? How can we move forward? It wasn't just, you know, white people that ended that war. It wasn't just Americans that ended that war. It was a coalition of interests, and it was young people, and it was old people. It was unexpected, and we won something. And you can turn to BAI and hear that. What else is happening this weekend? Well, in London, does everybody know about May Day 2K? Where did you hear about it? Probably on Pacifica Radio, no? Or was it the web? Now, day was, everybody would have heard about it on Pacifica Radio, right? Day was, you would have been hearing day after day on Pacifica Network News the preparations for what's going to happen in London this weekend. They have probably the largest mobilization of police in London history happening this weekend because a May Day event is going to take place in the same style, in the same spirit as an anti-capitalist day of protest last June when groups among them, many, many different groups, but among them Reclaim the Streets, who are active in Seattle and also in Washington, are reclaiming the streets of London. And last year, do you remember the pictures? You had bricks through the bank windows. You had the police completely freaked out. You had the whole city of London shut down by people with bicycles and people with kids and people with every possible kind of tool of protest. Well, they're worried the same is going to happen. They are worried. We are excited. The same might happen this weekend, May Day 2K. You can see about it on the web, mayday2k.org. Well, we want to know what's going to happen there, right? And I know what's supposed to happen. Today, Saturday, is supposed to be a cycle through the city against pollution. Tomorrow, rumor has it, there's going to be piles of manure dumped outside Buckingham Palace. Monday, we're going to have a day-long, there's going to be a day-long campaign of guerrilla gardening. You know what that is? That's people saying, listen, if we complain a lot about multinational corporations, we complain a lot about corporate control of our economy. Well, if we're going to reclaim, if we're going to complain, we have to figure out how we're going to, substitute for corporate control of our economy. Well, the first thing we have to do is produce our own food. And the first thing we have to do is get access to land. Well, we don't have very much access to land. So let's get some. So I can't tell you the details, not because I'm hiding them, but because I don't know them. Because it hasn't been reported. Because we haven't been there covering every day that this was developed. But as far as I understand it, guerrilla gardening is going to be taking place all over London on Monday. People have been asked to bring seedlings, pickaxes, and spades. Now, I think that's great news, right? That's exciting news, and that's the kind of thing we want to be there. We want to hear it. We don't want to hear the ABC News version. We don't want to hear, heaven forbid, the BBC News version. We don't want to hear the feature story version, if you don't mind me saying so. That's the freelance stringers that PNN is using every day now. We want to hear the sound of the spade going through that bit of concrete at Trafalgar Square, don't we? Outside of the Houses of Parliament. We want to hear the person pouring the water into the soil to make that seedling grow outside of the House of Commons. Or preferably inside the House of Commons. Wouldn't that be exciting? I mean, that's what Pacifica was bringing us throughout the Vietnam War. They sent correspondents, actually, to Hanoi and to Saigon to hear what was happening. That's what we heard. You know, if there had been a Pacifica in the 19th century, we would have heard from Chicago when workers were shot fighting for their rights, and we've got the original May Day. Pacifica would have been there with their microphones, just like Errol Maitland was, going down to the ground while the cop's on his back. Have you all heard that tape? Pacifica Network News wouldn't play it. But we've all heard that tape of him saying, "We're reporting live for BAI, they're on my back, I'm on the ground." That's chilling stuff. You're never going to hear that on BBC. Did you hear it on Pacifica finally? On Democracy Now, all right. When we need to distinguish, I need to distinguish more clearly between Pacifica Network News and Democracy Now. Of course, Democracy Now aired it. But isn't it an outrage that Pacifica Network News has not yet aired that news, that sound? That is the sound. I mean, politics aside, yes, we have a different agenda from the people that run the corporations. But more than anything, we have a different style. We have a different sound. We want to give people the information not filtered through 5,000 layers of calming devices, but rather hear the sound of what happens. Again, I think that's why radio is powerful. If we want to protect radio, it's why. It's because it's to do with sound. Right? You want to hear the person like Amy in East Timor chanting as the, you know, the AK-47s or whatever it was come towards them, F-6, whatever they are, right? We want to hear Errol on the street. We want to hear Verna on the tractor. We can get the other stuff in photographs, but radio, what's special about it is how close you get, how excited you can get, how many thoughts it provokes in your own mind while maybe you're cleaning the dishes or preparing the meal or putting out the laundry or cleaning your house. It's a little different from the newspaper, where it's already flat on the page and you have to be focusing in that way. And it's a little different from television, where you're kind of mesmerized by that glowing rectangle. It's definitely different from the web, where you can kind of go just where you're interested and you might not see the other stuff that happens. The thing about radio is that people turn that dial, all sorts of people. Like Verna said she did, you know, all sorts of people could catch the news just on the air. It flew through the air into their ear and could change their lives right then. So I think that there's a lot of exciting stuff happening in independent media. And speaking as someone who has worked for years in media criticism of corporate media, we should never reduce our, you know, determination to get better from our corporate controlled press. But we need to, at the same time, understand what it is we're fighting for. And when it comes to community radio, we're fighting for institutions that train new people, that develop expertise, that provoke questions, that get people excited, that sometimes get people furious, but it's right there in front of them, in their ears. They can have their thoughts, they can have their reactions, that get them out into the streets, because you say there's going to be a protest at 6 about this. Go, be there, and people show up. Meetings like this one. I mean, when I worked at FAIR and we did all the criticism that we did, and it was very important, after 10 years I just felt, you know, people cannot live by criticism alone. We have to also nurture our creativity and celebrate our creativity. Celebrate we ended the Vietnam War, all of us, that very big we. Celebrate that we have May Day as an international holiday celebrated everywhere but this country. Celebrate that we own these airwaves, that we have this history of Pacifica, where we not only own the airwaves, but we actually own some licenses, and that we're not the people who are deviating from some tradition. We're not the ones who are out of touch, marginal, irrelevant. We're the ones who are continuing to express a tradition in this country of speaking truth to power, of going where people hadn't gone yet, of being a mix of people and a mix of issues all at once in the same room, so you don't just turn to the Discovery Channel, you don't just turn to the Science Channel, you don't just turn to the Stock Exchange, you don't just hear the Black program, you don't just hear the Asian Pacific program, but with any luck, you hear all of them, and you get some sense of this world and its connections and what's great about that and what's difficult about that and what's exciting about that. And you maybe make friends you wouldn't have thought of making before. You go to events you wouldn't have thought of going to before. We don't want block programming like we're told by NPR that we should have. We don't want to niche market ourselves just to the few people that we're sure are listening every night. We want to try to reach out to other people. We don't want to be guided solely by how many is it, 10, 20, 30,000 people listening in this hour versus the next hour, and that's the only principle on which we guide our programming. Sure, Arbitron ratings and how many people are listening is part of the information that we should have in our heads as we decide how to move forward and what programming to do, but it shouldn't be the only information. It shouldn't be the only thing that counts. So what else was I going to say? A16, I was in Washington, D.C. for the anti-IMF, anti-World Bank policy meetings, and it was great. There was an independent media center there, as there had been in Seattle, that was literally buzzing, not from all the microelectronic waves, radiation waves, although that too maybe, but there were so many people and there were so many young people who were calling each other and saying, the action is on this street. There's tear gas on I and K, or whatever it is, 14th and K. There's the Treasury, there's a protest outside the Treasury. Who's got the sound from when the FCC broke down the micro radio station? Who has the photographs of when the fire department broke down the convergence center? Who has the flyer? Yeah, I'll tell you about that in a minute. Yes. It was exciting. They were putting it on the web. There were pictures and stories to be downloaded off the web for free for people that could do that. There was sound on the web for people that could run that sound, and a lot of community stations around the country ran that sound straight off the website. There was, press conference was the press. There was a written newsletter that went out either 2 days or 3 days, and they had a crisis at one point where the Kinko's in the area of the Independent Media Center, three Kinko's were shut down. Why? Well, because the people that ran them were told that they were in danger of being in a riot area. There weren't any riots going on. This was your 24-hour printing house, and they knew that was the standby for publishers all over the, activists all over the country. Where do you go when your own Xerox machine breaks down, as they're made to do? You go to Kinko's. Well, they shut the three Kinko's around the nearest IMC so that those newsletters couldn't get out, but they found some other place to get them out. So anyway, you had this buzzing sort of nerve center of independent media. Where was Pacifica Network News? Banned from it. Why? Because the people that ran it were standing on principle in support of Dan, in support of Verna, in support of the Stringer strike. A lasting image of the A16 march was on the I can't remember which intersection it was, but as you heard, people closed down intersections with human chains, and the idea was to stop traffic from passing through. You didn't want to let the buses go through that were carrying the delegates to go to their World Bank and IMF meeting. Well, I saw one of our reporters at Pacifica Network News, post-purge Pacifica, as I refer to her, one of the post-purge Pacifica reporters screaming at an activist on the corner. And I went up to the activist afterwards. She stomped off. What was that about? And the activist said, I don't know who that was, but she was furious that we had a blockade here that was blocking her way. I was like, well, this is the whole point, is the blockade here. This is what we're for. This is what we're covering. And that, to me, really epitomized the problem. That we have a network that we own with some national with five licenses around the country, with affiliates in every community in these United States, with contacts all over the world. The Rolodex of me, Verna, and Dan could, basically get us to anyone in the world we want to. And we have this incredible tradition, this amazing resource, and the people who are in charge of it right now are standing on the wrong side of the barricade. really believe, and in the same way that there's a movement to, I think, I mean, as opposed to when I started at FAIR 10, whatever it was, 12 years ago now, now people are conscious about media control. Now people are conscious, very conscious about the power of corporate media and conglomeratization and what it's doing. It's great. There's activism around media all over the place. What we have to also maintain are our independent media sources, our radio stations, where people can walk in the door, where people can learn things. And we have to be where Pacifica would have been years ago, which is at the center, inspiring this new movement of independent media activists on the web and on satellite radio and so on and so forth. I'm excited that I'm working with Working Assets, with their new radio network. It's not community radio. It's commercial radio. But I'm excited nonetheless that the good people are trying to compete for commercial radio space on the AM dial, in fact, is where we are, or on the web. Where was I going with this? Just simply to say, you know, there is a movement going on there that Pacifica should be at the heart of, but I have to say, if Pacifica doesn't catch up, this train is leaving the station. These folks are going. It's multiracial, multi-age, multi-ethnic, international. People are going to start turning to the web for the information about May Day 2K in London because they can't reliably get it on Pacifica Network News. Amy can't cover everything in 1 hour a day on Democracy Now!, although we know she tries. Her position is always in need of protection, etc., etc. So just simply to say there is a movement. We want to be part of it. We are part of it. We have a right to be part of it. And Pacifica better get on board, frankly. Now an announcement. The Independent Media Center, the people that brought us the IMC in Seattle and in Washington, are having a revival, are going to do their thing again here in Los Angeles, August 14th through 17th during the Democratic Party Convention. And I recommend anybody to look up Indie Media, IndyMedia.org. on the web and figure out how you can be part of it. They had about 1,000 volunteers in Washington, D.C., in a little gallery in a friendly, disheveled part of town. And not all the volunteers were media experts or media professionals. IndyMedia.org, IndyMedia.org. There's a phone number here, flyers in the back. Be part of it. I say to Pacifica, be there or be square. Thank you.
Yeah, Laura reminds us there's going to be a hot time in the Old Town coming up in August. Not only the Independent Media Project, but also there's a group meeting now around the D2K protest planning. The last meeting's had like 80 people or so. Groups are forming. The Southern California Fair Trade Network will be moving the agenda against globalization, privatization. And if there's anyone here who has the two websites for either the Fair Trade Network or the D2K Planning Coalition, I don't happen to have them with me. We should also give that information because we are going to be very strong here following the Republicans in Philadelphia. We're going to invite all of our friends who were in Seattle. I was in Seattle. It was great. Let me tell you, it was absolutely fantastic. I smashed no windows, but I found everything that happened there to be quite energizing. And I think Laura brings up a good point. The voice of Pacifica and the voice of KPFK should be the voice of people from the streets. It should be activists. It should be people of color, every community, the Korean community, the Filipino community, the African American community, the Central American community. And some of the voices I've heard lately on KPFK, Robert McNamara, Pat Buchanan. And then we understand that Arianna Huffington is organizing a shadow convention in her home in Beverly Hills. There's one also being planned at the Paul Robeson Community Center. Where would you rather be, folks? At Arianna's home. The shadow convention by Arianna Huffington, that initiative also duplicates a much more progressive, radical, progressive people's convention. So there are leaflets here. I mean, I think we really have to say, as Laura so clearly pointed out, whose side are we on? Where are we standing on these issues? And now I'm going to ask, this is not something I have never done before. Some of my friends, I see Sabina Virgo down here. You've seen me do this before, I think, Sabina. Folks, let me explain something to you. This gigantic forum was put on by a small collective of people who dug into their own pockets to produce this. This ad hoc committee will actually dissolve after this event, and it will reincorporate itself into a larger grouping. Three tickets of these distinguished guests were paid for flying from the East Coast. Larry Bensky, we're very sorry to say, is not here. His was going to be also a ticket that the ad hoc committee was organizing around. These people are so committed. Their love for this network, the love for this station, is so deep and so compelling that they dug into their own pockets, paid for the tickets, paid for this hall. It did not come free. Paid for the printing and advertising and outreach. What I'm going to ask here today is that we show these people that we definitely appreciate what they've done. Let me get started by saying my own organization, which is probably going to file for bankruptcy, my own organization, the Committee in Solidarity with the People of El Salvador, has a check for $50. We're going to get started here. We are indebted to KPFK and the Pacifica Network for what they did for the people of Nicaragua, Guatemala, and El Salvador during the 80s, when those revolutionary struggles were actually being broadcast constantly. $50. May I just see if there's a show of hands of people who can match this check from CISPAS and give $50 to this to try to get these tickets paid for? Do I see a hand? One, two, there's one, Will Forthman, one of the fantastic. He's from the San Fernando Valley. We're not holding that against you at all, Will. We love to. With the Alliance for Democracy. There's one here. 50. Did I see a hand back here? Where? Here. Here's a $50. Aren't we at $150? And this is only three people. What did you say? Okay. Okay. Awesome. Don't raise your hand. I'm liable to hit you for $50 here. Can we have a couple more? I know many people in the audience have given at other events where I've done this pitch not too long ago. What is it? Can we make them out to cash? I think we can make them out to cash. Don't make them out to cash. Thank you. The committee has just spoken. Who do we make the checks out to? No, no, make them out to CISPAS. I'll tell you, if you make them out to CISPAS, that's C-I-S-P-E-S, then we'll cash them and turn the money immediately over to this collective. If you want to make them out to CISPAS, C-I-S, we're in the same building. What did you say? H-L-P. Okay, if you have not written anything yet, that's even simpler, H-L-P. But you know what? I'm not going to let you off the hook this quickly. Are there a couple more $50 pledges here before we go? $50. We're at $200 right now. This pays for one of these tickets. Compañeros, gracias. Adelante, adelante. Thank you very much. There's $200. Is this a $50? Or are you waving at a friend? No, $50. Let's hear it. $250. Hey, what do I hear now? We got $250. I want to... Is there one back there at $50? Frank Durrell, is that Frank? Thank you, Frank. That's $300. We've got the second person to Des Moines, Iowa, but they aren't quite yet. Okay, I'm just wondering, I'm going to give you a last chance here. We're at around $300 on the $50, and we're going to have questions and answers. We're going to hear from two more activists who work in this movement, and then we're going to go, of course, to the questions and answers. Any other $50 check? Here's a $50 check. Thank you, Tom Camarella. Thank you, Tom. I think we're at around $350. There's $400 right back here. We're at $400. Gracias, compañero. Thank you for your solidarity. Now, I only have one more minute for the pitch, so I don't want to... But you know that whatever you drop in there is going to actually mean that our activist compañeros will not have to fund this event alone. Demonstrated, the community mobilized, and this woman has really personified an outstanding journalist who is the victim of what's happening at KPFK then responded, and Ruben is back on the air. The problem is not solved, but the militancy of the community was great. Robin Yurovich, KPFK, and Pacific National News reporter, banned from the station after writing one critical article. Let's hear it for Robin Yurovich. Welcome.
Well, thanks a lot. I wanted to tell you, though, that I'm not a reporter for Pacifica Network News right now because we're on strike. I'm among 40 reporters around the country and around the world that actually decided after a long summer of censorship, and I think many of you are familiar with the incidents, but Counterspin, the media criticism show, was taken off the air. Pacifica Network News for a long time never covered the crisis in Berkeley. Democracy Now! Was not rebroadcast in Los Angeles and in many other places because the network wanted to cover up what was going on with the crisis and didn't want to engage in a dialogue with the audience about the issues that directly affect it, because obviously the audience has been paying for Pacifica for all these years. So anyway, in early this year, at the end of January, some 40 reporters decided that with the removal of Dan Coughlin, and Dan didn't talk about why he was removed from his position as news director, but I'll just tell you really briefly, is that he aired a news brief that was factual, whose facts nobody disputed, about how a number of Pacifica affiliate stations, stations who buy the news from Pacifica, had boycotted the station because of its censorship and because of its lack of democracy and its lack of responsiveness to them as well. And he aired that news piece, and then he was removed as news director. So after that, and after all of these other incidents of censorship, we decided that we're working for this network, obviously not for the money, but because it's the freest place on the dial where we can broadcast news, where people can feel confident that they're getting the truth. And after that, we could no longer feel that our credibility was protected in any kind of way, that we would be free to say what we wanted to say. So we went out on strike, and just this week we voted to extend the strike because we got a lot of response from management, but we didn't get the negotiations that we're looking for. Thank you. We struck because of censorship, and what we're demanding is that obviously they renounce censorship around the network and that they give editorial independence back to the news departments and to the Pacifica Network News. That's something that does not exist. That doesn't exist at Pacifica, and it doesn't exist at KPFK. And I want to give you an example of that. This summer, when I was there as a volunteer and producing news for Pacifica, Kathy Lowe, the program director, came in and told the reporters that they wouldn't be allowed to report independently. They wouldn't be allowed to report on the crisis at all. But when the crisis began to appear every day on the Associated Press newswire, she then told the reporters that they could use the newswire to read those stories verbatim, but they couldn't do any reporting themselves. And if that is not something that contradicts Pacifica's mission, you know, I don't know what is. And so with that kind of a situation, we just didn't really have any choice. And so what we did beginning January 31st is that we started to try to, you know, in the way that we could, because we're 40-some people spread out all over the world, put some pressure on the network. And I think that we've done a pretty good job, and I want to talk to you about some of the things that we've done and some of what we still hope to do, is that we have built a list of over 200 academics and activists who say that they'll no longer offer their commentary. You know, these are people who are called to get their expert opinion for Pacifica news pieces. They are no longer going to provide those opinions for Pacifica. We've gotten the support of the LA County Federation of Labor and most of the labor federations, all the labor federations, I believe, in the Bay Area, the statewide teachers union for our strike. We got a lot of press and airtime, and we feel like that it's really something that we want to invite more people to participate in and really rally around, because if there's anything that, you know, everyone who's in this fight, often there's a lot of problems with people agreeing on exactly what we want, but certainly everyone can agree that if Pacifica stands for anything, it stands for freedom of the press and no censorship. And so that's one thing. The other thing that we've done that I think is perhaps the most important thing is that February 11th, we launched an alternative news broadcast that's called Free Speech Radio News. And it's now carried on 26 Pacifica affiliates. We're only able to broadcast it once a week because of resources and money, which also, I mean, after Don made the big pitch for money, I don't know, but I'm going to try to make one too because we're on 26 stations now. We come out once a week, and we've been able to really do incredible things. I mean, I've been a contributor. Aaron Glantz produces the program from Berkeley. And it's produced very much on a shoestring, but we have the strikers who are participating in it. We also have people that he's recruited around the world. We've had reporters in Nigeria, in South Africa, in Colombia, and, well, people in Mexico, and people have gone there to do reporting. It's the kind of diversity and the kind of passionate news coverage that you really don't hear on Pacifica anymore. This last week during the April 16th demonstrations in Washington, I was one of the reporters that went, and we did a daily broadcast in cooperation with Making Contact. Many of you probably have heard of that. It's produced by the National Radio Project. And that was also carried, I believe, by more than the 26 stations that are taking it now. What we want to do is we really want to have a daily broadcast. I mean, we really think that what we're fighting for is we want to take Pacifica back. And that's very important. And I think that's, you know, that's the principal thing, because that's, as we heard, there's millions and millions of dollars in that. It's an asset that we've all helped to build up. So we need to take it back. But we also need to be looking forward to alternatives. Because one of the things that I think that we see that's a contrast between the people that I'm working with now in our alternative broadcast in Pacifica is that we're excited and passionate about what we're reporting on, and Pacifica isn't. They're, you know, laughing and snickering and trying to have the same attitude as people at ABC and CBS and, frankly, doing it in a much more amateurish way. And so we, you know, we really need to build up that alternative. We'd like to go every day. And I think that, you know, there's a chance that we might be able to. So I want to talk a little bit more about that. I think that basically, you know, we, as John says, we need to move the agenda along a little bit. So I'm going to try to be brief. But I do want to talk a little bit about my experiences at KPFK, particularly this summer during the crisis. Because I think it's instructive about where the station is at, and it may help people understand so that you guys can work to take it back. And one thing is, I mean, obviously I covered the censorship. There is censorship there. There was, people didn't want management prohibited airing of news of the Pacifica crisis. I think that many of you know that when callers called, and even to this day when they call and try to make a critical comment about Pacifica or about the station, they get cut off. They don't get any sort of discussion. They just get cut off the air. And there are specific instances of that you all have probably heard. There's also an attitude there that I think sort of contributes to the whole, to what you hear on the air, to the narrowness of the viewpoints that you hear. And it's sort of an insular attitude, an us versus them kind of mentality where, you know, if you want to talk about issues at the station, if you have a different view from the people in management, then you look both ways before you open your mouth. And that again, I mean, can you believe that happens at a place like KPFK? It's really disgusting, and the hypocrisy is, you know, more than some people can stand. But I think that what that attitude does, besides being really annoying, is that it cuts off many of the people who are there's ability to really be questioning and critical about other things outside of the station as well. And that's where I think the real danger in that is. And there's also another point that I wanted to bring up about the station and about the network in general is that, you know, you may have heard that Mary Frances Berry during some of the protests in Berkeley last year was talking about how these are a bunch of white males with gray ponytails that are out there protesting, and what we really want to bring to the station is more diversity. And what we see at KPFK, I think, from that, earlier than that and since then, is an incredible whitening of the station, an incredible narrowing of the diversity of views. And I say whitening of the station when you look at who's on the air, you know, during prime time. And so, I mean, it's another instance of you know, where you're really not getting what you should be getting, and also of the tremendous hypocrisy that exists. So we, I mean, those are all, that's very brief, but I think those are all reasons why we really need to fight to take back the station, to take back the resource that we have here in Los Angeles, and the